35. Let's stand, if you would, please, and we'll honor the reading of God's word this morning. Mark chapter 10, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 35. Mark chapter 10, verse number 35. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on the right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, You know not what ye ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, You shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. Again, I'd like for Brother Gene, if you would, to pray for this, and we can be seated this morning, and we'll get on with it. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want you to notice this passage that we just read. And what I want to do is call your attention here in this passage that James and John come to the Lord Jesus Christ and they make a request that cannot be granted. They desire that our Lord allow them to sit on the left side of Christ and the one on the right side of Christ in glory. And I want you to pay attention to how Jesus responds to them. He said, you know not what you ask. He said, you don't know what you're asking, fellas. He says, he then proceeds to tell them that the positions are there for those to whom it is prepared. In other words, you don't just get it because you want it. The positions are there for the ones that the Father has prepared for them to have that. In our society today, and might I mention in the local church, people have adopted this thinking, even though we have and use worldly phrases such as you can't have your cake and eat it too, and we believe that, because if you have your cake, then you eat it, then you don't have it, you know. Anyway, no pain, no gain, meaning I've got to suffer in some kind of area in order to get what I want, whether it's in the gym or on a diet or whatever. We say that. But it seems like our society today, we've adopted this philosophy. And just to tell it plain and straight, people of today, what they want is, they want what they want. Amen. Without giving up anything, without changing anything, without implementing anything, without sacrificing anything. And what I have to say about that this morning is the title of this message, You Can't Have It Like That. James and John just naturally assume they can stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Hey man, put me on the right, put me on the left. And Jesus said, You don't even know what you're asking for. Just because you come up here and start demanding me don't mean you're going to get anything. The fellas that's going to sit at my right hand and the fellas going to sit at my left hand is the one that the Father puts there. And I tell you, what I have found is that in our society today, we have gotten to a point, and this thinking has infiltrated the local church. Like I said, this is an entitled society. We think we're entitled to it. We think people owe it to us. We think we ought to just have it because we want it. And we don't care about the work we put into it. We don't care about what God says about it. We don't care about if there's any sacrifice or anything. I want it. I'm going to get it. That settles it. But there's some things, according to this Bible, you don't get like that. You can't have you. There's some things according to this Bible that without sacrifice, without doing and changing some things, without giving up some things, you don't get what you want. And we have to teach our Christian people that. We have to teach these young people in here. They're growing up in this society thinking that just because they want it, they ought to have it because they've grown up in America. And here in America, man, we rich and we got everything and we can have everything. And we think just because I say I want it, I ought to get it. What we're doing is we're ruining our children. You're killing them. You're preparing them to grow up and be nothings when you do that. Now, the Bible's very clear. There's some things you just can't have like that. Now, I preached this thing at Pleasant Grove, and it took me a bunch of Sundays, and I had a bunch of points, and I'm going to preach this thing this morning. I'm going to preach it tonight, so I'm obviously going to have to deduct some things and just pick out a few points here and there. But I'm going to go over two or three points this morning, two or three points tonight, where we have got this thinking that we can have something without any type of change or any type of suffering or any type of giving up something. And I'm telling you, that kind of philosophy is killing our Christians and killing our churches. That's not the way the early church looked at things. That's not the way a lot of the church looks over this world right now. While we're sitting in this nice building this morning, there's folks imprisoned. They're being tortured. They're being murdered and everything else for the faith. They don't have nothing. They don't expect nothing. They just like to live through the night. And here we are. We've got this, like I said, this sense of entitlement that showed up here in our country where everybody thinks they ought to be heard and everybody ought to get what they want. And don't ask me to sacrifice nothing. Don't ask me to give up nothing. Don't ask me to change anything. Don't ask me to do anything. I just want it, so I ought to get it. And you can't have it like that. Here we go, three of them maybe this morning. We'll see how far we get, and then we'll do some tonight. Number one, I tell you this. You can't have a great country without God. I'm going to go in a little bit. I'm going to dovetail on some of this stuff Brother Jimmy was talking about here. But I'll tell you what we got here in this country. What we've got here in this country is a bunch of folks that want a great country without God. We don't want them in the government. We don't want them in the schools. We don't, and many churches don't want them. We bylawed them out of the church. We've decided how we want to do it and how we want to run the church, and we don't care what His Word says or whatever. We just put God on the side. And but somehow or another, we think we can have. We want a great country without God. And you know, if you want to pray for America, if you want to have the sea at the polls and take America back and march at the Capitol, you can do all you want to. I'm certainly not going to try to discourage you from doing that. But I tell you what I think is going to happen to America. I think there's nothing but the judgment of God to come upon America. They're not thinking about repenting. They're not thinking about turning back. They don't have this country as a whole has no intentions of turning to God. And there's only one thing left for America, as bad as I hate to say it, because I love this country. It's the wrath and the judgment of God. It's coming down. It's coming down. Back in 9/11, when those planes hit the towers, this country, the worst thing in the world that could ever happen to this country happened then. It got religious just for a little while. They was in God We Trust, and folks was coming to church for about two or three weeks, didn't even make it a month. And now we're worse off than we ever was because then we got religion. And religion's the worst thing a country can get without getting a hold of Jesus Christ. It'll make you a twofold child of hell. There's more people burning in hell right now that because of religion than any other reason. Religion without a relationship in Jesus Christ won't do anything but damn your soul to hell. And what we want is we want a great country without God. Everybody in this country wants their rights, but nobody wants to do what's right. We want the blessings of God on this country without being a righteous country. And it just don't happen like that. And I'm going to tell you something. All this worry about building up our military. Listen, I'm all for a big military. Help yourself. Listen, we won't be able to whip Peru if God don't help us. Let me tell you something. That Bible says if God be for us, who can be against us? I believe that. But if that's true, then the opposite's true. If God be against you, who can be for you? Listen, God can help us whip Russia. God can help us whip China. God can help us whip Korea, but who's going to whip God? I'm not worried about China today. I'm not worried about Russia today. I'm not worried about North Korea. I'm worried about God. God is the one that'll bring this place down. God is the one that'll bring the wrath on this place. Nobody can touch us if God don't want them to. And we can't keep nobody out of here if he wants them to come in here and whip us. And that's just the truth. What this country wants is they don't want God's sovereign rule. They don't want his scriptures exalted to govern our lives. They don't want his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet they want the righteousness. We want good schools. And we want good insurance. And we want good hospitals. And we want good paying jobs. And we want God bless America. We want to be prosperous and have everything. But then forget God and throw him right out of everything. Throw him out of the government. Throw him out of school. Throw him out of life. You can't have it like that. You can't just hold your hand out and say, I'm going to have good health care and good schools and good government and good everything and just forget about God. It don't work like that. It's not going to work like that. Psalm chapter 9, verse number 17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. This nation's forgotten God. You know where this nation's going? Into hell. The fires of hell's coming upon this nation. We just somehow think because we're Americans. Let me tell you something. This ain't no American Bible. You know what that Bible says about the nations? There is nothing in the eyes of God. You think God, you got some kind of greater audience with God because you're an American? You think God loves you more because you're an American? You think God's going to put up with our foolishness more because we're Americans? You're crazy. He's not going to. He's going to judge us and hammer us just like he would any other nation in the world. I'm going to say this about all this political stuff. There definitely is one of them that's a little bit better than the other one. It's about like a fella coming up saying, you want your arm cut off or your hand cut off? Well, I don't want neither one, but if you got to cut one off, cut my hand off, I reckon. At least I'll have a stump to do something. That ain't going to help this country one way or the other. Listen, I'm not trying to go, this about political as I ever get, but I'll just tell you this. You can vote for whoever you want to. This country is still damned and doomed. It don't matter who gets in there. Now, I'll tell you what the Bible says about it, not what the politicians call in your phones and whatever party you support or you like. I'll tell you what the Bible says about it if you're interested. Anybody interested in what God says about all this mess? I'll tell you what he says. Proverbs 14:34, he says that righteousness exalteth a nation. Not the Republicans and not the Democrats and not nobody. It's righteousness that's going to exalt and build back up this nation. And if you don't have righteousness in the White House and your churches turn into the outhouse, we are finished in this country. Completely finished. We're finished because we are a wicked country. And God says, I will exalt the nation that's a righteous nation. It's a very wicked, unrighteous nation. He said, the nation that forgets God, what did he say? He said, I'll turn it into hell. He said, I'll put that nation that forgets God, I'll put it into hell. That includes America. We can't have it like that. So if you want to vote for something, rather if you want to pray for something, here's what you pray for. I pray, God, we'd repent and turn into a righteous country again. Now, I don't believe that's going to happen. I believe we passed a point of no return down the runway. You can't slow down. Ain't enough runway left. You're going to go off into the woods. We fix that to take off, and the sirens are going, and you know, something's going. Your altitude ain't right. The jet's going to flip. It ain't going to make it. It's too late. We passed a point of no return. Now, I know, literally, if people turn to God and ask God to help them and repenting of their wickedness, I know God would repent of what he would do to us. You see that countless examples of that in the Bible. Nineveh was one of them. You ever read that thing, what happened in Nineveh when Jonah goes and preaches against that wicked city? Nineveh, God's done said, I'm going to destroy you. Jonah preaches it. They repent. And he does it. However, if you go on and read, what's Nahum, thank you. My wife's a good Bible scholar. You go on and read Nahum, you find out that the city of Nineveh turns back, and all of them, they turn back against God again, and then God comes in later and destroys them. Now listen, we cannot have a good country where everybody's fed and everybody's wed and everybody's got a medical bed and everybody gets a sharp head and good schooling and good this and good covering and boy, and then I just want everything, but I want to live like the devil. Let the sodomites rule. Let the murderers and the rapists rule. Let our country be plagued with wickedness and filthiness. And I'm talking about wickedness and filthiness in the local churches. We want the blessings of God without the righteousness of God. You can't have it like that. We're not going to have it like that. And people are fooled. Number two, I like this point. I picked this out of about 19 points. I thought it's worth preaching this morning. Number two, the thing you can't have like that, you can't have what Pawpaw has without working like Pawpaw did. I'm going to tell some of you young folks something. You better look up here at me. Your generation is taught, if you want it, get it right now. And some of you, bless your heart, I'm not trying to be ugly this morning. I'm really trying to help you, and I don't mean to come off as abrasive. I don't mean to come off as mean, but I'm just a real candid, straightforward preacher, and sometimes that's mistaken as me trying to hurt somebody's feelings, and I would never want to come in here and hurt nobody's feelings. But some of you parents, you've taught your children that. You've taught them that if you want something, you can get it right now. And how you've taught them that is, bless God, I'll max out every credit card I can possibly get a hold of just to get a bunch of junk, and I'll pay it if I can. If I can't pay it, I won't worry about it. The repo man will come to get it. Then you gripe and complain when you wake up in the middle of the night in your underwear and run to the window with your shotgun, seeing somebody pull out of your driveway about 2 o'clock in the morning with your car on the back. I can't believe they come in here and got my car. They got your car because you didn't pay for it. Amen. A lot of people don't get their bills paid, and they get mad because folks call their house. They're calling your house at night bothering you because you owe them money. Pay them the cotton picking money. Quit buying a bunch of junk you can't pay for. You can't drive the car Pawpaw drives. When Pawpaw was your age, he didn't even have a car. Bless God, he worked 40 or 50 years before he got that car. We got a bunch of young punks around here. They're driving better cars than their mom and daddy does. That's crazy. Ain't no 15 or 16-year-old deserve to get a better car than mom and daddy gets. Let him get a hunk of junk and work for it. Now, I'm telling you something. Some of you are looking at me, and you don't like this preaching, and you're raising some juvenile delinquents. You're raising some spoiled brats. You're raising some boys that's going to grow up and be 20 and 25 years old one day, and they're going to marry somebody's little girl, and you're going to want that boy to be raised right. He'll get up and go to work whether he's sick or not. He'll take care of that woman. He'll be there. He won't just bail out when there's trouble and leave the marriage and leave his children. And they're doing that. They're doing that because they think they ought to be entitled and have just what they want when they want it. No work, no sweat, no suffering, no sacrifice. Just charge it up, max it up. That's why some of you ain't never going to have a plug nickel. Because you can't do without a little bit. You have to be able to do without. You can't do everything. Here's a novel idea for some of you. Cook. You know, I call me and Darby doing pretty good with our money. We've always gave to the Lord. We've always, if we didn't have it, we didn't spend it. We've always tried to put a little back in the savings. I call what we do good with the money. Well, I just resigned my church, so I don't have a salary coming in. So we made us a little budget and found out what she was making for a month, and because she gets paid monthly. And trying to have a budget and trying to halfway figure out what I might get paid a little bit here, a little bit there, filling in, and seeing if we're going to be able to make it or not, or what I needed to do, and just looking at all that. And so I said, flip back and see how much money we spent last month eating out. And I call us fairly conservative. I'm embarrassed to tell you. And my wife cooks.
Sometimes. I'm just kidding. Now listen, everybody look up here at me, because I'm the most misunderstood fella, and they'll put it on Facebook and everything else. Brother Dennis preached this morning, told us we couldn't cook out. Now that's nonsense. You can eat out. Listen, I don't work, make your money. You can do whatever cotton picking you want to do with your money. Ain't none of my business. I'm just telling you, when it comes to the end of the month and we're running a little low and it's get in there and cook, or just, I don't care if we pay my bills, I don't care if we have anything to put in offering plate, don't care if we have anything to put in savings, I want pizza and I'm going to get me a bunch of pizza. I'm going to go eat out. I'm going to pay a tip. Spend $40, $50 here, $40, $50 here. What you need to do is do what me and Darby did. Get that budget out and look how much you spend in 1 month, and you'll want to eat at home some more. But you know what people say? They say this. They say, I don't want to cook. I don't want to sacrifice. I don't want to stay at home. I want to go. I say, yeah, but if you go now, listen to me, if you go, you ain't going to have money to do this or do this over here. And if you keep going now, listen, on down the road, it's going to catch up with you, and you're going to be in trouble, and you're going to be in trouble. They don't think about tomorrow. They don't think about on down the road. They just think about my belly's growling now, and I want to go to Pizza Hut. You know what you think? You look at Paw, who's retired and living off a fixed income, that worked hard all his life, never did go out to eat nowhere, scrimped and saved, and they got a half-decent car, half-decent truck under the garage, and they got a little house to live in, and it's paid off, and you 20 and 22 years old, and you just want to punk out and think, I want what they have. You're 20 and 22 years old. You don't deserve what they have. You ain't invested any sweat. You ain't invested any time. You ain't worked. You ain't sacrificed. You ain't done nothing but just show up and stick your old greedy hand out. I'm going to tell you something. I told my son this, and I mean it. I said, you be good to me and your mama, and you do your own thing, you'll be fine. I said, but you turn against me and your mama, and you get sorry, we ain't bailing you out. We ain't giving you nothing. And when I die, I won't leave you a used dip of snuff. You think I'm joking? I'll give every dime we got away to somebody else. That boy of mine won't get nothing. I mean that. You think you ought to have what Pawpaw's got, and you ain't invested, you ain't worked, you ain't put in the time, you ain't put in nothing. And that's why the average person can't even get out of college. They get all this debt, and they get in this debt, and they go into marriage. And let me just tell you something about marriage, all right? I've counseled a few marriages in my life. I can name you the top three or four things you're arguing and fussing over, but I can tell you the number one thing that put more marriages in trouble, that's put more marriages in my office, and put more of them in divorce court is money. You're going to argue and fuss over money, and I guarantee you neither one of you think you're right about it. When she spends it, she's wrong. When he spends it, he's wrong. Now, if I spend it, I'm right. Amen. I done put too many hours in. I know how it goes. I know how that thing goes. And what you'll do is you're willing to get you a new hunting lease or a new rifle or a new car, ladies, or a new deal to put your marriage under constant strain the next year or so trying to pay for that mess. You'd be better off not to go out there and hunt blue jays with your pellet rifle than to put that kind of strain on your marriage. You keep working hard, you keep saving hard, you give to God what's His, and then one day you'll grow up and you'll have enough money to buy a lease and it won't put a hardship on you. How about that? And I got one more thing I'll preach today, and I believe I'll shut her down. You can't have it like that. You know what we want in this country? We want God's help and blessings without His lordship. You can't have it like that. You know not what you ask for. You can't have it like that. Let me tell you what God is to many people. God is just a glorified bellhop. God is made here and He's leaning over the banister of heaven just waiting for me to tell Him something I want. That's stupid Victoria Olsteen, that Joel Olsteen's ditzy stupid wife of his. Hear what she said. She said, God just lives to make us happy. And God just wants to make us happy. And when we worship God, it really ain't about God. It's about Him making us happy and that stupid mess. Let me tell you something. God ain't living to make you happy. As a matter of fact, it's right reverse, Miss Victoria Olstein, you devil. That thing says over there in Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11, that God created us, that we were created to please Him. God didn't create us so He could please us. I mean, gimme. God put us down here on this earth to please Him. She ain't got enough sense and don't know any Bible. He's not just up there in heaven waiting to help you. And you know what you want? I've seen it so many times with Christians. It's what you want. You want to put God in a box. See? God, now you stay over here. You get over here in this box. Don't you convict me. Don't you tell me what to do. Don't you try to run my life. Don't you try to govern my life. Don't you try to straighten me out about nothing. But God, if my marriage is about to fall apart, or God, if I've got a sick youngin', or God, if my finances are falling apart, or God, if I've got a bad diagnosis, oh God, help me, oh God, help me, get out the box and help me. You know what God to do? I've seen Him do it a million times because He's so merciful and He's wonderful. He's a gracious, loving, merciful God. He'll help you. He'll bail you out of it. He'll give you what you need. And then you know what you'll do? You'll be in church just long enough to get the saints' prayers and the deliverance of God. And when you get what you want, you greedy, selfish, self-centered Christian, you'll say, now, God, get back in that box. Get back in that box. I'm not going to live for you. I'm not going to give you anything. I'm not going to sell out my life for you. I just want you there to bail me out when I need you. And then when I don't need you anymore, get in the box and leave me alone. It don't work like that. You can't have it like that. We want God's blessings and God's help and God's mercy, but then we don't want to do what God tells us to do. This is a messed up society. You know what the biggest problem with this is, too? I'm not just giving you the philosophy of the world. I'm giving you the philosophy that has crept into the church. Church people's like that. I remember a situation in my church many years ago. I just resigned Pleasant Grove, and I was there about 12 and a half years, and I might have been there a year or so. And a lady wound up with liver cancer. And she was a young lady, maybe in her 30s or 40s. And she didn't come to church. Her children came to church. So we tried to reach out to them. And she came there, and we prayed for her. I remember, I think we had a service where we might have laid hands on her and prayed for her, but we prayed. But anyway, and that was 11 or 12 years ago. That lady's still alive today. Anyway, the report was she went to the doctor and had come to church two or three Sundays, went to the doctor, and the doctor took another test, and the cancer was gone. Could not find any cancer. You know what happened? We tried to talk to that lady. That lady never came back to church. Never got in it. I don't know what happened to that lady. I don't know what's going on, but I know this. I baptized her daughter. I supposedly, and I don't know, led her daughter to the Lord. Her daughter seemed to be on fire for the Lord. That lady, after God did that for her, never came back to church, turned her back on the Lord. That lady's daughter is a lesbian and married, went and married another woman. You say, how in the world do you get from somebody sitting up under my kind of preaching and hearing that and me baptizing whatever? A lesbian woman married another woman. You have a mama that God heals you. And you get the saints to pray for you and want to take up money for you and want to help you. And God does His deal. And then you drop out of church. You drop out of doing something for God. The FBI can't find you. You know what you want? You want God take this sickness away. God pay my bill. God fix my marriage. God fix my health. But I'm not going to live for you. You can't have it like that. It don't work like that. Now you want it like that. You want it like that. Your old flesh wants it like that. But it don't work that way. It's not going to work that way. You cannot have a great country and it remain great without God. You cannot have what Pawpaw has and punk out and never hit a lick at it, never work, never save, never sacrifice. You can't. And I'll just tell you this. You can't have the blessings of God on a church, on your Christian life, on your marriage, on your children, on a country without the lordship of Jesus Christ, saying he's my Lord, he's my master, he's my owner, and he's not my bellhop. Come on, Jesus, pick up the luggage. Come on, Jesus, up here. Come on, Jesus, bring me something to my room. I want a drink. I want something to eat. In the middle of the night, and Jesus is just running around saying, you know what, I'm just so glad I can serve you. And then you wouldn't live for God if your life depended on it. You can't have it like that. And that's what's ruining marriages. That's what's ruining Christians' lives. That's what's ruined this country. And that is what's ruining local churches. And I'll just say this, if God's spoken to you about any or some of these areas this morning, would you please, with God's help, pray about it and ask God to help you to realize that you can't have it like that. Salvation is free. It's a free gift. But everything else that you achieve spiritually after that is work. And you don't just get set back and demand God and do nothing and live like the devil. And one day, you're going to need him to fix your marriage. And one day, you're going to need him to heal your youngin. And one day, you're going to need him to help your finances. And in that day, if you've showed him a pattern of requesting and then not living for him, requesting and not living for him, asking and not living for him, holding your hands out, getting a hand out, not doing nothing for him, maybe one day that he's up there in heaven when you really sure enough need him, he says, I've had about enough of this. I'm not bailing you out of nothing. God help us. Every head bowed, eye closed. Brother Jimmy, come on. We'll have a hymn invitation. And I don't know what God's speaking to you about. I don't know what you need to do this morning. And God's telling you something to do. If you need to come up this altar, pray for yourself, pray for somebody. By all means, I ask you to do that this morning. Think about what's being preached. Now, I haven't tried to hurt your feelings. I'm not trying to make you mad. And I'm trying to get you to think about something that'll help you now if you'll think about it and do something about it this morning.